This is Nachiomi, Sefer Shemuel Aleph, chapter 29. As we learned in chapter 27 and was alluded to in the very beginning of chapter 28 in passing, David and his men are now employed by Achish, king of Gath, the Philistine king, who has appointed them as kind of his primary bodyguards because of the great trust he has for David. King Achish is readying himself to go out to battle against the Jewish people, the very same battle that Shaul is worried about and that motivated him to consult with the medium. He naturally expects that David and his entourage will accompany him out to battle against David, against David's former nation, in other words, against the Jewish people. This is the first time that David's been put in a position where he has to choose between his loyalties to Achish on one hand and his Jewish identity. We find him now in a direct and open conflict within himself, because on one hand he has a commitment to to the land of Israel, to the people of Israel, and on the other hand he has a commitment to Achish, and he's become a part of the Pilishti community. So while David has convinced Achish that he's defected from his homeland and he's joined the cause of the Pilishtim, we know that this conversion was not 100% sincere. He still has ties to the Jewish people. He's still fighting by himself with his troops against the enemies of Israel in order to help the Jewish people. This is all unknown to Achish, obviously, but his loyalties are certainly divided. So in a war between the Pilishtim and the Jews, David would have no choice but to side either with his own people or with Achish. And obviously, if he sides with his own people, this is going to reveal that he has misled the Pilishtim all along. He's been misrepresenting his true loyalties. Or he would have to fight with the Pilishtim against his own people, which would obviously mean sacrificing whatever future he would have as leader of the Jewish people. So when the other Pilishti leaders and officers see that David and his men have joined their forces, have joined their ranks, they complain to King Achish. They say, what are these Jewish people doing here? Achish protests that David has been nothing but a faithful servant to him ever since he dropped his affiliation with the Israelites and relocated to the Pilishti territory. But the Pilishtim harbor serious suspicions. They're not going to allow these Jews to join them in fighting against Israel, because no matter what happens, they're still going to feel that they secretly are allied with their former co-religionists, their extended family. So therefore, the Pilishtim do not allow them, do not accept them into the garrison. Achish approaches David and explains that he trusts David completely, but that his associates have their doubts and will not consent to allow David into the camp. David questions Achish's willingness to go along with the other Pilishtim. He points to his record of trustworthy service, and he expresses that he takes some offense at being rejected. He takes it personally. In other words, he says to Achish, what have I done? What have I done wrong by you that you don't want to have me here? Achish reiterates that it's not him. He sees no fault in David whatsoever, but he can't persuade his colleagues to accept this view. He instructs David to leave the next morning and head home to Ziklag. Now, one interesting observation we can make about this brief chapter is the fact that when he wishes to emphasize how much he trusts David, Achish does something very unusual, which is he swears by the name of Hashem, using the four-letter divine name that is uniquely used by Jews. Now, we would normally have expected him to refer to God, Elohim, or use some other generic term. The implication is that David probably taught Achish some of his ideas about religion. Although politically David had joined the Pilishtim, he remains committed to his God. He remained a Jew from the standpoint of philosophy, of religion, of observance. It should come as no surprise that a person who wrote in Tehillim that I will speak of your testimonies before kings and I will not be embarrassed, a famous pasuk in Tehillim expressing how no matter what context, no matter what setting David was in, he would speak of Torah, he would speak of his religious convictions, he would speak of Hashem, and he had no fear about doing that. So he had such passion about Torah under all circumstances that it's no surprise that he would have spoken about his concept of the creator of the universe and monotheism and the wisdom of the mitzvot with Achish, and that Achish probably benefited from some very enlightening conversations with him. Part of our mandate as Jews is to share the wisdom of Torah to the extent possible, to be Mekadesh Shem Shemaim, to sanctify God's name in the world. We see this in the way Abraham interacted with Malki Tzedek, after the war against the four kings, where Melchizedek takes a, makes a declaration about El Elyon, the highest God, but Avraham Avinu says, no, Hashem El Elyon, that Hashem is really the highest of all causes. And similarly, Yosef guided Paro towards a more sophisticated understanding of how Hashem communicates with human beings through dreams. So our avot, our ancestors, used their interactions with non-Jews, with foreigners, as opportunities to educate them. And we can assume that David did the same. So King Achish is not just flattering David by using the name of David's tribal deity. Achish is actually using a name that he understands and recognizes as significant and meaningful in its own right. Another practical lesson we can derive from the story is the way that David accepts the bad news, so to speak, from Achish. Now, in reality, he must have been very relieved to learn that he would not be expected to take up arms against his brethren, siding with the Pelishtim, or to reveal his true nature as a double agent. But rather than immediately acquiesce to Achish's suggestion that he go to Ziklag and say, oh, thanks a lot, okay, I guess we'll go, David protests at first, demonstrating his sincerity, his eagerness to join his new master on the battlefield. A person shows his true colors in his response to being let off the hook. David realized this, and he made an even deeper and more abiding impression on Achish by expressing resistance to being excluded from the military operation. When the boss tells you that you're relieved of some responsibility, don't sound too happy about it. He might interpret it as a sign that you're not too thrilled to be working for him, and therefore you are a bit too excited about being given a break. So too here, we see that David wants to make sure it's clear that he isn't thrilled about being let off the hook. He wanted to be with Achish. He wanted to fight with the Pelishtim, but he's not being allowed to do so.